Chapter 4, The Last Picture Show.
Welcome to the chapter four of Cry Me a Riverdale. I know grammar. My name is John Reisinger.
And my name is Mikey Newman, and I want to quickly point out that the fourth episode of any TV show, or any podcast for that matter, needs to turn on a dime to hook the audience in for the whole ride. That's generally what... Because the third episode will give you a big twist, but the fourth one needs to twist everything.
Okay, and cool. I'm prepared for this.
Boy, howdy.
No, I'm prepared for this. So instead of talking about the episode four of Riverdale, we're going to talk about Smallville, right?
That's what I've been waiting for this whole time.
That's what I've come to the party to do. I don't know what you plan on talking about, but I'm going to be talking about a sweet, sweet little Superman boy.
All I'm saying is any episode of Smallville that didn't star Kristen Crook, it's not Smallville.
She did go away at one point, didn't she?
She became a witch first.
And then they brought in Lois Lane.
Smallville was like the show that saw Alias season 4 and was like, no, let me show you how to do it. Hold my beer. Like, I'll show you how to lose your damn mind.
What has Tom Welling been doing? I want to know what he's doing because I miss
him. Rails and rails of cocaine.
I miss him. I do too.
Hey, Tom, if you're doing okay, buddy, let us know. Let us know in the comments, Tom Welling.
If anybody has seen Tom, please let us know he's okay and send him our love. With that...
Let's dive into this episode of just everything blows up. Everything. Every single relationship they've built over the first four episodes, other than really Betty and Archie, hit the skids hard.
Yeah.
And... we're going to go into that. I will quickly point out this episode is called The Last Picture Show, which is a reference more to Jughead and his obsession with the movie theater that never makes any sense and is actually really off-putting. But they never actually referenced the film, the 1971 film.
That feels weird.
Because there's a lot of movie references in this episode, and I kept waiting for... because it has a weird obsession with Rebel Without a Cause for some reason, because that keeps coming up, but they don't. I guess that's just what it is. But we open. What did you call
Jug Dub?
The Jug Dub, because I wrote Jug over and I was like, that's not right, but it's still pretty good.
Yeah.
So the Jug, we open with the Jug Dub, which is even more deliciously overdramatic than usual for him,
because he has a romance with what he's talking about at the beginning.
And he makes a point to say that essentially Riverdale, because of Jason Blossom's murder and all the people accusing each other of things, is starting to come apart at the seams.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that very clearly in this episode.
It's so funny. It actually literally starts with a diner lady coming up to Jug, him having an obviously like, yeah, it's been a long night look. And she fills up his coffee and he's like, thank you, ma'am. Like that whole, like, it's been a rough night moment at the diner. That's how it opens.
I always, whenever he's just sitting there alone drinking coffee, I this doesn't make any sense. It's just the vision I have. I expect him to like reach into his backpack and pull out a bunch of Magic the Gathering cards and start like building a deck.
See me every time.
Jughead would do that.
Every time I see him in the diner with a cup of coffee, I think of the emo kids from South Park who do nothing but sit in the diner and drink black coffee.
And play Magic the Gathering full circle. I don't know. But
I used to play Magic the Gathering in the library during lunch in junior high because I was, spoiler alert, not popular.
I also did, not in the library, in the cafeteria in sixth grade. So Betty is writing, because we move off the Jug Dub and we get to Betty writing in her diary, which is the Chekhov's gun of this episode. They showed us the weapon. It's going to go off in the third act. This diary is going to have dire consequences.
You can bleep this out, but Google f-ing docs. Kids, come on. You can, it's password protected, it's in the cloud, you can update whenever you want. Stop doing this analog writing crap. That's just going to get you caught and in trouble.
I don't want to point to directly behind me at the stack of journals on my shelf there. People do actually write with their hand.
Right, but if you're going to be writing like stuff that needs to be super super secret.
Yeah, I agree. She ends the episode by writing again in it, and you're just like, "Patty, come on." But the mixing of time periods is a big part of this show. So her 50s mom finds her very 2000s diary, and things go exploding. Yeah. So, but they're basically just introducing this. But Betty has deciphered on her own that Archie and Grundo are making babies in the meantime. That's what I'm going to call it.
Making Babies in the Meantime was my favorite Coldplay album.
That was the one about Gwyneth, I believe.
That's how Apple was made.
So we get this quick introduction, but we know that Betty figured it out. Because Betty's actually a pretty good detective, as we learned. Like, she has a lot of hidden talents, mm-hmm. I would say. But we move over to Archie and his dad attending Miss Grundy's recital.
Yeah, the least awkward concert ever.
Not really. Though I thought they were not as close at the end of last episode as they clearly are in this one. Because these two are now dating, like, bar none.
Yeah.
So Archie's dad keeps complicating this. In every scene, he shifts between he obviously knows and he obviously doesn't know.
He obviously wants some Grundy himself is what he wants.
Yeah, there's that whole awkward thing where, like, they're competing to hit on her and you're just like, no. So dad is turning the screws for some reason.
Then he invites, to make it even worse, Grundy,
yes,
to dinner.
Yeah, and there's only one restaurant in Riverdale, and it's Pops, and none of them ever get tired of it. So they go there.
So too.
But all Archie's friends are there, of course, as well.
Yeah.
And Quentin Tarantino is the first director mentioned in this episode. And I just want to point out that it was not Peter Bogdanovich, the director of The Last Picture Show. Just want to slide that in there.
Yeah, well, it's mentioned by Jughead, who's pissed off.
Who's just complaining about drive-ins this whole time.
He's complaining about the Twilight drive-ins, going to close down. And they mention an anonymous buyer, and everyone's like, who's that? And then they move on to deciding what the last movie should be. And they start mentioning all of the young youth's favorite movies, including American Graffiti, anything with Hepburn, Talented Mr. Ripley, and Rebel Without a Cause. The movies I remember loving in high school.
Betty does pick the actual film, which is Rebel Without a Cause, which I think was her sort of referencing herself and what she feels like right now.
And then we cut to Cheryl, who apparently goes to restaurants with bottles of grenadine in her purse.
I just wrote, Cheryl is at a 34 out of 10 when she walks into this room.
And also, I'm going to note this. Cheryl literally starts her conversation with her two friends, pouring grenadine into her friend's drinks at a restaurant, and then does a pourny in hers. So she literally makes her friend's drinks like Shirley Temple's and then leaves hers
clear. Or
like a
cherry Coke, I guess?
I don't know, but she's like, it's some weird power play thing that I could not stop looking at.
But Cheryl goes on to say that if she had realized Hermione, Miss Lodge, Veronica's mom, was working as a waitress at Pops, she never would have let Veronica onto the team in the first place. And I'm just like, you're a dirt human, Cheryl.
Yeah. Well, then she proceeds to, when Hermione comes to pick up the chain, she starts throwing around shade Veronica comes over to try to defend her mom, but then Hermione has a great line about how Cheryl's mom also didn't know the difference between having money and having class. Right. And, yeah, she totally burned her good.
There was definitely a like mother, like daughter. Cause the Lodges, they bring out the claws in this episode in a delightful way. But Betty sees Archie because the the weird, like, third wheel, who you don't even know who the third wheel is in this situation between Archie, his dad, and Grundy come
in. The third wheel is all of our shared tension and awkwardness in this weird triangle.
It's all of our anxiety, yeah.
So Archie and his family of wonderful discord shows up, and Betty goes over and calls Archie out.
Well, she brings him outside, and...
We gotta talk about school stuff!
Clearly, that's what's going on. She accidentally outs Jughead, or he accidentally outs Jughead as already knowing about the secret. And she's like, what?
Shush.
But Betty has, I think, the line of the episode where she says, what is she, your booty tutor? And I was like, all right.
Yeah.
All right, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. No,
that was Veronica who had that line.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, because she came out. Yeah.
Because Veronica is curious what's going on, and when she leaves, Kevin has a great line about, he just turns to Jughead and he says, what was it like before she got here? I honestly cannot remember.
Because Betty's mom shows up to pick up Betty.
Yeah.
And she doesn't really get to say anything, so she doesn't, this scene kind of slid away. I didn't want to score this one on the BM counter because it just happened too quick. So she picks her up. And then Skeet Ulrich shows up.
Who?
Oddly, Skeet Ulrich, the biker.
Who's that? Who's that actor?
He's from Scream and some other stuff.
Have
you never seen Scream?
Yeah, I've seen Scream, but I don't
know. He was the bad guy in Scream. He was the boyfriend.
So
he was the one that wasn't Matthew Lillard. Let's face it, Sid, your mom's no Sharon Stone.
that was perfect.
Hit me with the phone, Dick.
We go home real quick.
But Cheryl takes a picture of the argument between.
Right. What happens before that actually is Betty goes. We cut to Betty going home because of mommy, and she starts Googling the Grundy. So they let us know that Betty's not done with this and wants to know what's going on because Archie fesses up about everything that was happening, and then she wants to know more. So then we cut to Cheryl, who calls her friends hair models of the damned, and. I don't know why she says that.
Six out of ten. That was pretty good.
And then, so she catches Hermione with the guy from Scream having some sort of discord, and she takes a picture.
Yeah, with an amazing, like, zoom lens on her phone. But, like, Cheryl is basically just a kid with a magnifying glass standing over an anthill at this point. Like,
yeah. It's just ammo.
Yeah.
We go to school.
Yeah, because Archie immediately is trying to justify his actions.
Yeah, he kind of begs Jug to, like, help him out somehow, to which Jughead has a really good reply. He doesn't really, like, call Archie out on how this is wrong or how someone's going to go to jail, but just kind of puts it in perspective of, like, what's your long-term plans with this? Like, how does this end not badly?
And boy, does it end badly. But we're not there yet. So foreshadowing our eventual end here is putting doubt in Archie's head.
Yeah.
So that Archie will do the right thing.
That there has to be an end game to this one way or the other, and it's going to be coming sooner than later than Archie would prefer.
So we cut to Betty sitting down with Mrs. Grundy, and again, Mrs. Grundy does not ever teach class. she is...
Just to be clear...
And no one ever goes to class. We've never actually seen someone in class, really, except when they arrested Cheryl that one time.
They cut frogs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The first episode, they were like, oh, yeah, these are high school kids.
Maybe it's just a science school.
But Betty is trolling Grundy a little bit because she knows. And she does it in a really weird way, though, because at first it was like cute trolling because I'm like, yeah, it's funny. But Betty sort of implies that wasn't Jason Blossom so cute, Mrs.
Right,
Grundy?
Because, so Grundy's vague on her background, lets her know that Rivendell is her first permanent position, and Betty asks, like, have you ever done independent study like you're doing with my boy Arch? And Grundy lets her know that she independent studied Jason Blossom, which is like, dun, dun, dun. She also threw out a name called Tomoko Yoshida. Which I did my own little research this week. Thank you very much, Mr. Mikey Newman. You can just let me have this moment.
I am.
Tomoko Yoshida is a female character from the comics who's like an ongoing friend of everybody and like Betty. So it's kind of weird that they used like an actual real character to be someone that Grundy did Independence Day. I'm curious if it's ever going to show up again. If like we're going to someday.
I am now too.
Meet Tomoko. Because it was such an odd name. Like in a world that we've obviously introduced where it's like excessively white people, maybe a few ethnic people as like, or minorities, but mostly like white people, like to throw out, yeah, Tomoko Yoshida. I was like, that's a very like specific name.
It draws attention to itself. Now, if I may ask, what is the gender of that?
She's a girl.
That was what I thought, but I didn't want to presume.
She's an Asian girl. But that was less important than the whole Jason Blossom thing. And yeah, Betty says like, isn't he kind of cute? And Grundy's like, I don't think of my students that way. Bullshit!
And as the audience, yeah, we're like, well. Cheryl comes in. Because, like, Grundy leaves, and Cheryl comes in, and I wrote, she is firing her mouth rifle in every direction. I don't think she comes in. She doesn't come in the music room. She goes into, I don't remember where they were, but.
Cheryl, so they go, they're in the little student hall part, and, like, that little, like.
Again, not in class.
Yeah, they're not in class. They're in their little hangout spot at the school, which is the school, I think, and. Cheryl shows up and starts throwing shade on Veronica and like being all vague because she's having her fun. The aunt magnifying glass, you know, it's there. Yeah. And she shows her the photo and yeah, she's going all crazy.
But Betty puts a stop to it pretty quick. Betty really stands up for a lot of people in this episode.
There's a great line in this scene that made me really like, respect the show even more because of its awareness. But I think it was Betty who threw it at Cheryl saying, you might be a stock character from a teen movie, but I'm not. Which is kind of like almost like said to the audience, I think, in that you might think these are all stock characters, but hold on, we're going to peel some layers here.
There is surprising depth from the most surprising places this episode. Whatever feelings you had about Archie and Grundy, they will go all the way the other direction. They will come all the way back. They will go. It's like a windshield wiper. Your moral compass on this issue.
Go to the lodge house, and Veronica asks Hermione about El Photo.
Yeah, and her mom just lies immediately. Of course.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to tell their kids the truth on this show.
There is. I'm gonna do a little foreshadowing. There is one a good parent in this episode, and we will get to him soon.
Yes, we will.
So she says that, like, I was just being polite to an old friend. Ha, 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 ha.
And I'm like, Skeet Ulrich has no background extra, damn it. We know he's important.
They don't just pull random guys from old horror movies into this world and not give them a good role.
You don't call up old Skeety Ulrich. If you're not going to give them a juicy part, and boy, do they.
They do, but that happens later on in another episode.
Jughead is trying, after that scene, we move to Jughead, and he's trying to defend the drive-in from the demolition.
Yeah, and in watching this episode, I noticed at the beginning of the episode and during this conversation, he keeps, in a metaphorical way, referring to the drive-in as his home.
Right, which is less metaphor than we were led to believe.
Yeah, but it was something that I didn't realize until watching
it
the second time.
I want to point out quickly, as these are the emotions of the time of the audience and myself, Jughead is playing a little unfairly in trying to defend this drive-in and why it's so important to him, but the drive-in doesn't make enough money and it's going to get demolished because of that. And then Jughead's defense is, I used to go there all the time and steal from it.
Yeah, we used to sneak in and not pay for tickets.
Yeah, and I'm like, that's not helping you, dude. Like, you are the reason.
Yeah. We go to Betty.
In tinfoil hat mode.
Tells Veronica and Archie about the mystery of Grundy and her whole, like, coming from nowhere. And Facebook was just made recently and all that kind of stuff. There's no little background. She even finds... which for some reason I missed this the first time I watched this episode. She finds another Geraldine Grundy that died 7 years ago, who is surprisingly similar in appearance to the comic character of Grundy. She's old and...
Yeah, that is the comic character of Grundy, as we're finding out.
Which that was kind of interesting. And but Archie then kind of turns it on Betty and calls her out on the fake interview, and which makes Betty a little in the wrong.
Archie in total Archie mode takes the moral high ground on this issue where he should not, yet again... And he basically bullies her into stopping, or at least saying she's going to stop.
Yeah, it's kind of like what Betty did with her mom in like previous episode where she says she's going to do something and then the next scene doesn't. Right. But yeah, she agrees to stop digging. And we go to a super sweet little scene at Grundy's house where they have a movie projector date night.
Yeah, like, so they're just dating in front of an open window that is like half a street down from his own house.
Yeah.
It's a weird thing. It's they are sweet together, but you're still like, I don't know.
This is not good. And Archie starts asking Grundy about her past.
He does seem to be planting the seeds to break them up.
Yeah, I mean, it's very clear that that Betty and Jughead and everyone knowing now is starting to chip away at his confidence in this relationship.
And since no one wants the moral high ground here, Betty and Ronnie break into Grundy's car.
Yeah, there was one thing that was interesting that I don't know the answer to, but Grundy, in her conversation with Archie, mentions that she had a dream about when she was like her past and her whole music career, and it didn't work out. And there's just kind of this ongoing, all the way to literally like the last shot of this episode, where there's more mystery to Grundy than we're even let known in this episode, which has kept me I'm very interested in knowing the full story of Grundy at some point.
But they have now gone out of their way for a third time to show us that there's more going on with Betty than Betty is admitting to, because Betty what do they call that when you lift the lock on the car door? Because she does that first.
She breaks in the car.
Yeah, and then when they find a lockbox in the car, Betty uses Veronica's bobby pin to pick the lock, which she just knows how to do.
Yeah.
And inside the box, we find
a gun.
There's a gun and a driver's license, because they find the driver's license first, showing us that her name is in fact not Miss Grundo.
Jennifer Gibson. And I, like Tomoko, Googled Jennifer Gibson, and the first post had the word spoilers all over it, so I didn't look at it.
Oh, that's smart. That's smart not to get too far ahead.
So apparently that's going to have something. Finds the gun, finds the ID, goes and shows it to Archie.
Yeah, and they're just like waiting in front of his house as he walks back from his like creepo date with Creepo. And Archie is pretty confused by this because he's like, didn't I tell you to stop? But then they give him the information, and he is obviously like a little taken aback.
As he should.
Because she has obviously been lying to him this whole time.
And then we go to a quick little scene where Jughead is beseeching Archie's dad to not wreck the toilet because Archie's dad's construction company got the contract to break it down. But this scene basically serves as a purpose to let us in on the little secret that Jughead's dad used to work for Archie's dad and was fired for stealing materials.
Which he definitely did.
So there's past.
I mostly just wrote Jughead as being a gigantic, silly baby.
Yeah, he's just going around everybody and complaining about something that he has no clout to complain about.
But complaining to Fred is extra bad because it's like, that's your best friend's livelihood you're messing with. This is a big contract, which Fred explains.
Yeah.
So he basically fights pretty unfair. But we get to Ronnie's mom.
No, we go to Hermione.
That is Ronnie.
Oh, you said Ronnie.
Sorry.
I'm sorry,
Veronica's mom.
No, Ronnie's fine.
I was trying to be cool and cute. So Hermione is bribing a politician.
As you do.
And what's really odd about this scene is they discuss all of their felonies with careful attention to implicate themselves to anyone listening. Like, they are really specific about, like, yes, and when you give me this dirty money, I will do, you know, like... Why are you talking in such declarative fashion?
As opposed to like how this would really go down is where Hermione would show up, drop the bag off, nod, and walk away.
Yeah.
And then we go to Grundy's again.
Yeah, Archie is now confronting her hardcore. He hits her immediately with who's Jennifer Gibson.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, we're really not on... This is what I mean by swings. Like, they just swung us all the way to be totally against this. And then, without missing a beat, the show shifts the entire plot line to be immediately sympathetic to Grundy because of her past and her ex-husband and what he did to her. And why she was so emotionally compromised to have gotten in the situation in the first place. And she just kind of cries on Archie and he just kind of holds her. And you're like, I did not expect the show to, I mean, cause they are flip flopping this just left and right.
Mm-hmm.
And my little heart can't take it.
Yeah. So all the information we get is Grundy was in a bad relationship.
Yeah.
The relationship was a marriage. It did involve her getting hurt, going to emergency room, then getting divorced, then changing her name because that's what you do when you get divorced.
Well, if you're scared for your safety, you do, yes.
And then, yeah, so she kind of gives that whole, like, you know, that's why. That's why I have different ID and that's why I have a gun because I'm scared. Yeah,
and it makes sense. And she keeps it in her car to be safe. So we move on to old Chris Pine.
Yeah, Sheriff Pine.
The most adorable father on the show.
Right.
Sorry, so Fred, for the in. Moment.
Yeah, Kevin comes in, discovers Sheriff Pine's murder wall, and then Pine immediately goes into super dad mode and expresses how he wants Kevin to find... Because Kevin's going to go to the movie theater with Veronica, and Pine is like, he wants Kevin to find a nice gay kid at school. And it's the sweetest moment ever in all TV history.
He is so, so cavalier about his son's nocturnal transgressions. Like,
yes.
It makes you feel good. Because it is not the relationship you were expecting the sheriff of a small town to have with his son like that. And it's nice. But the other thing we learn in this scene is that however good of a dad he is, he's a terrible sheriff.
Yeah.
Because he's, for whatever reason, conducting the murder investigation in his own home.
Yeah.
So that was not a smart move. We're getting to that. So this is like a good 30 minutes into the show, I think, at this point. But the show has held on for so long this episode without a real BM scene. Like, Betty's mom has not really done much.
She hasn't really been a part of this episode thus far.
So I called the shot in the note. I was like, she's not getting a point in this scene. Like, she's been away from the spotlight for too long. She's going to come out a guns a blazing. And first line, she proved she was not a human. And she kept the BM count at -3.
Yeah. Betty's parents, which is kind of her dad kind of really taking a participatory role for one of the first times in the
show. Yeah, he just sort of like floats around. We don't know much about him.
They go and they confront Archie's dad and they try to make it all like stop letting Betty hang out with Archie. And she starts talking about like, we can see, we live next door, we can see what's going on. And Archie's dad is just smooth. And he's like, are you spying on us? And shuts down Betty's mom.
Luke Perry way. Are you spying on us?
He's so good. He is good dad.
I was just like, 90210. Oh, snap!
Have you been waiting 4 episodes to use that?
No, I actually just came over that right now.
You're so smart.
I couldn't wait more than 1 second to use that. Come on, you think I would have held on to that for any length of time?
No, that would have been bursting.
It was.
Okay, so then we go, Archie is defending Grundy to Betty in the most unhealthy way possible.
And Betty is, of course, right. She's like, you got to make a decision here, dude. Like, this is not... This is more complicated than you realize for reasons outside of the relationship. Like, more, like, there's crimes and guns and, like, who knows?
Yeah.
And you don't want to be near this when that gun goes off, metaphorically.
And then we go to the Lodge House, where...
Is it,
Yeah, next one's the Lodge House.
Okay.
And then Hermione kind of alludes to like some sort of plan that it's all in place because she's going to go to the drive-in with Freddie, Archie's dad. Mm-hmm. And we have a fantastic Smithers moment because she refers to herself as an old hag. And Smithers is like, no, ma'am, you're not an old hag. And I wanted to stand up and applaud for Smithers.
Yeah, but she did kind of come back like, of course I'm not, idiot.
Like, but he was being nice.
Well, he's paid to be nice. That's his job.
He was like defending her for no reason other than he wanted to defend her. Do not lessen my Smithers.
Okay, so we move on to another BM scene. And I'm expecting this to go straight to she is looking around for the diary because she's got to be a horrible person. But Betty's mom, in fact, finds the gun first.
Because Betty's stupid. And Betty hides the stupid gun in her dresser. Took.
Yeah.
Yeah, yes. That's also the first thing. First thing, she took the gun, said just leave it. And then put it in her dresser.
Well, I think she thought she was trying to protect Archie. That's why she took the gun. But what made sense was that BM immediately started looking for the diary. And I'm like, if I found a loaded gun in my kid's room, yeah, I'd probably read their diary too. Like,
probably.
You want to know that they're not going to use that in some horrible way. I that actually wasn't a bad parenting move, even though most of the time it would be.
Yeah.
So Betty immediately comes home and is confronted with the gun from her mom. And we know this is about to go off because now Betty's mom knows and Betty's mom found a gun.
Yeah.
So, but we move to the drive-in because that's where the climax has to be.
Yeah.
Right? This big, and, the big end.
Jughead did pick Betty's movie.
Rebel Without a Cause. And they make a point of showing us that all the cars that are there to create this timeless sort of look, they are all from the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and aughts. And what I thought was really interesting was that Betty's mom, who is, I thought, pretty rich. I thought they had a good amount of money considering the house they live in, but she's driving like a 1971 Grand Prix.
Hmm.
I don't know why, but everyone drives a car from a different decade, which is cool. And Veronica's cuddling with Kevin, which was really sweet and nice.
Yeah, and Cheryl kind of shows up and decides to be at third wheel.
But not full Cheryl. She's actually pretty cool. Like, she's sharing Twizzlers. And
yeah, I mean, she wants to actually be friends for the moment for some reason.
I mean, she does demand that they hang out with them when she gets there. But for the most part, she just kind of gets in on the cuddle party. And I was like, that's fine.
I would try to get in on the cuddle party too.
Me and Kev, yo. No, so.
Oh, yeah. Betty's mom does recruit Fred.
Well, she bangs on the glass because.
she points Hermione, the flashlight at her face too.
Yeah, but it's just like, bah, 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 it's really scary. You're just like, why? So she scares the shit out of him, but she's like.
Oh, yeah, because. Because Freddie is there with Hermione. Hermione then gets kind of distracted and goes off to deal with some mystery thing. And that's when Betty's mom shows up and goes all crazy.
Yeah. So, again, everything's about to happen. So, Kevin, not the best idea in the world, shushes an entire biker gang.
Yeah. So, these biker gang dudes are at the movie theater and they're making a scene and they're being the worst people ever at movies. Kevin shushes them, and then makes a little bit of little eyes at a cute little gang boy.
A cute little gang boy. That was my first band in college. but yeah, so Veronica goes full, like, she stands up and she's like, listen.
What does she say? She says, do you want to know what happens when a snake is stepped on by, like, Louis Vuitton heels or something like that.
Do you know what happens when a frog is struck by lightning?
That's what I immediately thought of.
Same thing. No. So somehow they're not murdered for this bad move. And Veronica notices her mom sneaking off to talk to Billy Loomis, which was his character's name in Scream. That's
and also... Cheryl sends Kevin to go get more refreshments. Makes a point. I'm not letting go of this whole cherry cola thing. She makes it a point and says, Cherry cola for me, as always. It's a thing. There's something there.
Well, okay? Her name is Cheryl.
I just want to know what's with this whole cherry.
If you take away the L on Cheryl, it says cherry.
Okay, if that's all it is, I'll leave it at that.
I don't know that it is or isn't. I'm just saying that feels probably as deep as that connection goes. But yeah, they are pushing the cherry Coke thing a little hard.
Twice in this episode.
And Kevin only orders a cola.
He does.
No size. He just says, and a cola. And the guy's like, I totally know what you're talking about. No problem.
And then he has a nice little moment where he orders a hot dog. The guy doesn't have a hot dog, which then just makes this metaphor of Kevin can't find a hot dog, which is kind of a little phallic in nature because he's also a little horny boy. And
Let you read into that as far as you want to. I didn't.
He just wants a hot dog for himself, but he couldn't find one. Okay.
I think you might be reading into your own. I don't know if that's true.
So, I can find hot dogs if I want to find hot dogs, Mikey, okay?
I like hot dogs too. Relish, a little mustard. So Kevin gets confronted by a biker. Like, the biker just shows up like, yo, what's up?
Yeah.
And you think, because it cuts immediately away. Like, they meet up, and you're like, oh, is Kevin in trouble? This is weird. And is it Veronica right after that? Because she's
Hermione is paying off
with
the snakes, who are not happy.
No.
That the deal has changed and that they're dealing with Hermione instead of Daddy Lodge. And the whole while, Veronica is witnessing this. So there's no secret now.
Yeah, and he's pretty clearly threatening her. So
yeah.
We move to Archie when you were just like, oh, buddy. He bought Miss Grundy a new, really expensive. He actually sold one of his guitars to buy her a new cello bow.
Mm-hmm.
And right when you're like, Arch, buddy, he's like, we're going to stop. Like,
yeah.
He breaks it off clean. And you're like, they're actually going to get away with this. But nope! though their hug was really odd. Do you notice their last hug was like two aliens hugging? Because it was like, they're gentle human person.
They don't know how to interact.
At this point, they don't.
Clothes on is awkward, okay?
And then everything goes to pot right away because Betty's mom busts in, immediately calls her Mrs. Robinson, which I was like, what a nice reference.
That's good.
But everything just goes nuclear because Betty's mom is in there, Archie's dad is in there, Betty's in there, and Archie and the teacher were hugging like aliens when they came in.
They were mid-embrace.
In her house or whatever.
They're in her at school.
Oh.
Which is also
as you do at night, tutoring students alone in a giant classroom. What is after that? Oh yeah. So we learn that the scary biker dude actually just wants to make out with Kevin. And you're like, oh yeah, man.
Yeah, actually, before we get to that, the scene actually resolves with Betty's mom threatening to make this a big ordeal, and then Grundy says she'll quit and just make this all go away.
But they go to Kevin first and then come back. I was getting to that.
They?
Yeah, they actually cut away to Kevin and the biker making out to give you a sweet moment of levity before all of this just collapses.
And they swap numbers and everything, and they do a whole like, don't ask, don't tell moment because he's the snake and he's the sheriff's son.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they didn't go full Romeo and Juliet with it, which is nice. But Betty's mom, immediately losing the moral high ground, basically just says, this proves that your son sucks and shouldn't be around my daughter. And you're like, what?
Which actually triggers Betty more than anybody else in the room.
Well, Betty is just like, I'm not Polly, like, stop treating me like my. She invokes the name of her sister, who we have up to this point really not seen.
Yeah, and she threatens to go like scorched earth, and like if her mom makes this all public, she'll admit to everybody that she broke into Granny's car and that she made all this up, and she'll prove to everybody that both of those Cooper girls are crazy, which is like. Mom's nightmare.
I made a a note that Betty was throwing bows in a scene that started with gifting bows, which which is a nice.
Are you happy with yourself? Are you proud of yourself right now, Mikey?
A little bit.
Okay.
But
all that matters to me, okay?
Because the one that it sucks to be in that situation other than Archie is, I mean, Grundy is just alone. She's a scared young woman in the corner. Because she obviously knows she made a huge mistake.
Yeah, but she's looking at jail is what she's looking at right now.
She was in an emotionally compromising situation, and there's some sympathy building there. But we move to the Kellers, Kevin and his dad, old Chris Pine. They come home and he's like, "How was the movie, son?" And they realize that their house has been broken into.
Mm-hmm.
And they stole all of the evidence and all of the stuff on the walls, and you're just like, "You're the sheriff. You should not have been doing this here." But all of the Jason Blossom evidence has been removed.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess we're supposed to let a few people off the hook, or if this is a person connected to the murderer, not the murderer. There are a lot of people that are sort of innocent now by proxy of being at the movies.
Mm-hmm. Then... yeah, we have a little moment with Hermione and Veronica, where she confesses everything to Veronica. But then when
because the wheels hadn't come off on that relationship yet in this episode.
And Veronica's like calling her out on like obviously how wrong this is. And Hermione kind of like uses rich guilt to like cover it up.
Yeah.
Like, hey, did you like all the nice stuff we used to have? That's how we got it, was these kinds of things.
So we move to Archie not doing super great in the car, and his dad comes over and he gets him out of the car, and then Archie just immediately loses it.
Yeah, and his dad is so good in that scene.
Yeah, I just thought, oh, his dad's a good dad.
He's a good dad.
But Archie obviously had some very real feelings in this situation that are not going to go away, I think, very easily.
Yeah, so, he kind of like, his dad even says that, tells Archie that he isn't stupid, because that's how Archie is feeling.
Yeah. You're a little stupid.
Yeah, his dad tells him he's not stupid, but we're all like, you're kind of stupid.
So the next scene, I wrote all my notes in all caps, because I was like, is Betty's mom going to get a point for being a human in this scene? Is she going to make it through the whole scene? And Betty throws some punches back anyway, but Betty's mom just takes them. And I was like, she actually starts crying and she says she loves her. And I'm like, oh my God, is she going to get a point? And then she left the scene because Betty asked her to. And I was like, she got a point.
Yep.
BM count is now at -2. USA. Yep. USA. So it happened. It happened.
Yeah.
Betty's mom is a human being.
Yeah, she has a real moment with Betty, and Betty, like, they have this whole thing about, you know, Betty's not Polly, and she has to not treat her like that, and she even tells her mom, like, what's my name? And she's like, Elizabeth Cooper.
Say my name!
No. Yep, that's what Betty said. And, so they had this nice, actual, real moment.
Yeah.
And Betty almost starts writing in her diary again.
Well, she does in the next scene anyway, so it doesn't really matter, because it moves to
Grundy.
No, it moves to Archie, because Archie's upstairs in his room, and Betty texts him like, "Are you mad or whatever?"
No, she texts him, "I'm sorry."
Yeah, and he actually accepts the apology.
They have a nice little moment, but it feels like a healing moment a little bit.
But Betty is again writing in her diary, and I'm just like, well, I guess everybody's got to make a stupid mistake sometime. But then it gets the turn right after this is so jaw dropping. Like the end of The Usual Suspects happens because what?
Grundy's packing up.
Oh, and she was like in tears and crying. You felt all these emotions, and some are bad and some are good, but you felt so many things for this person you thought was a human. But she again has on the Lolita sunglasses,
mm-hmm.
She's checking out the high school boys as they run by for athletics. And the show makes a point that, like, she's a liar and she's going to do this again.
Yeah.
That reveal, I was like, oh, okay.
That was good. And then the show takes a twist. And the ending of the show is dubbed by Betty.
Yeah, because Jughead is the, I mean, the title of this episode is obviously about him, but she describes what's going on, and we see Jughead, and we see him kind of shutting down the projectionist booth,
mm-hmm.
and the camera pulls back, and there is his bed. He has been living there, so the reason he has been such a dick about this whole thing is because it was his home.
Mm-hmm.
And all of his actions suddenly fall into place and make a lot of sense. But he, of course, undoes that immediately because he sprays his name in graffiti on the outside of the building.
He does some light tagging.
That's a full wall's worth. But the actual reveal is Skeet Ulrich walks up, our biker boyfriend, and he is, obviously there's an existing relationship here, and Jughead finally says, Dad.
Yeah.
And boom, there's your reveal. So
Jughead doesn't live with family. Jughead's dad is part of the Serpents gang.
Yep.
And Jughead is now nomadic again.
Yeah. Because his dad's like, where are you going to live? Because he's not like, hey, do you want to come stay with me? He just assumes that he won't, which is very, very telling.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the end of the episode. So I think you should start Riverdale another week. Start Riverdale.
Yeah.
Another week.
Honestly, the Star Riverdale for me, watching the second time, I wanted to give it to Sheriff Chris Pine.
I gave him second place.
Yeah, it was I was actually the dads. This is a dad episode.
There was some very good dadding, except for Betty's dad, because he continues to be like, Betty's dad is the human equivalent of a rice cake. Like, it doesn't offer you any sustenance, and you don't really enjoy it being around. So
yeah, I would agree with that. And yeah, so Archie's dad had a few really good moments, like including, like, you know.
So is your Star Riverdalian Chris Pine or just dads in general?
I think I'll just make it dads.
I think that's awesome. Yeah, I can roll with dads.
The dads.
I am gonna go with Betty because she stood up to a whole lot in this episode, and everyone is fighting unfair. Including her horrific mother, who had one moment of actual human compassion for someone that wasn't herself, and Betty caused that. Betty actually managed to draw a human out of someone I thought was inhuman. And
yeah.
I got to give it to her, because she's stuck by her guns, and because she didn't want that resolution to occur.
Yeah.
But
it did. This really was an episode where Betty deals with a lot of difficult outside sources and situations, and actually comes out in the end the hero, because even in given the opportunity to let, you know, Grundy or even or Archie, like, die in flames, she defends and does kind of the right thing and makes it so it'll fade away and not everyone will go have their life ruined because of the situation.
Yeah. And there was definitely a running theme through this episode where everybody's lives took an unexpected and much worse turn.
Yeah.
From time, I mean, even Kevin just has now engaged in a relationship.
Yeah.
That, because he gave the biker his phone number, and we know that because who his dad is, that's probably also going to be complicated. So, yep. I mean, Veronica doesn't know what's up with her mom.
Mm-hmm.
Betty is between every rock and every hard place. Archie is devastated. Like, it really, I mean, and Archie's dad is even like, oh, that's why she wouldn't go on a date with me. Like, and we do realize that he did not know this whole time.
Yeah.
I thought it was a great episode. I loved it.
as did I.
Then that you're never going to hear a better review than that.
Let's go get it!